the life of David. And in it, we also have the truth that our Savior has done for David and can also do for us. David came through many battles, but the results were good, for God never let him down and always saw him through. No matter what the problem was, he trusted in the Lord. You know, child of God, this morning and through your life, we can have the same results as David. If we simply turn our problems, if we simply turn our weaknesses, if we simply turn our failures to the Lord, if we just put our faith in him for all things, whether they be big or small, there is nothing too hard for our Lord. Last night I read that part where the Lord came to Abraham and he told Abraham, at the age of 100, you're going to have a son. And your wife, at the age of 90, is going to give you a son. And the Lord, the Bible tells us that Abraham and Sarah laughed within themselves. But the Lord said to them, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, God always watched over David. And as a child of God, God watches over you and over me. And you know, this morning, my friend, child of God, the Lord also wants to look after you and watch over you. You know, in Psalm 18, verse 30 to 32, we read, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and makes my way perfect. Notice that expression in verse 30. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. God speaks of my way. God speaks of his way. You know, this is where the great battle in the Christian life happens and takes place. You know, the old man wants to go his way. The old man in our lives doesn't want to go God's way. It wants to go our way. You know, when his way becomes my way, not only is his way perfect, then my way becomes perfect as I accept his way. You know, his way is perfect. That is easy to say when everything is going well in our life. It's easy to say his way is perfect when we are on the mountaintop. But you know, when we're down in the valley, child of God, his way is still perfect. Everything that God does is perfect. The Lord is working in our lives to transform us so that we come to believe and trust in him. So much that we want to say, Lord, I want my way to be your way. Can I challenge you this morning, child of God? Are you in God's way? Are you in that perfect way? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you walking in disobedience away from another way? But I want you to consider, first of all, our God delivers. I want you to consider, first of all, our God delivers. David says in Psalm 18, 1 to 3, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My buckler, the horn of my salvation and high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And remember that David was fleeing from Saul. Saul hated David. He wanted to kill David. But you know, David could say that God was his deliverer. David says that God is strength. David could say here that God is a rock. David could say that God is a fortress. David could say that God is a buckler. David could say that God is a horn and a high tower. But he also could say that God is a deliverer. But God is not just these. I want you to notice the personal pronoun. David could say, he is my strength. David could say, he is my rock. David could say, he is my fortress. And David could say, he is my buckler and my horn and my high tower. But praise God, he could say, he is my deliverer. You know, David could say all this. But you know, child of God, this morning, you can also say this. As a child of God, adopted into the family of God, you can say, God is my strength. You can say, God is my rock. God is my fortress. God is my buckler. God is my horn. God is my high tower. And God is my deliverer. David is running to the rock. He is fleeing to the rock. He flees to the deliverer. He fights in the strength of God. He flees to God as his high tower. A child of God needs to know when to flee and when to run. Child of God, we face enemies every day. We face Satan. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And what does David do? He runs to the deliverer. He runs to the Savior. My favorite psalm is Psalm 46. And verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And David was in trouble. But David could say from his heart that God was his deliverer. You know, run to God, my friend. He is our refuge and strength. Tell him you're too weak to fight against the enemies. Praise God, our God will deliver. You know, the old devil will attack us every day. The old flesh will attack us every day. But praise God, we have a God that delivers. And this man, David, could say that God delivered him. As I drove down from Bangor this morning, it came to my mind about another man who was delivered. And he was put into the lion's den. I'm talking about Daniel. And Billy Sunday says in his book, in his own familiar way, he said that that Daniel had the best pillow that he ever had in his life. He said that he just put his head on the mane of the lion and had a sleep. And the Lord delivered him from the lion's den. Then I thought about the three men that were put into the fiery furnace. And when they came to look at the three men, they saw a fourth walking in the midst. The Lord was there to deliver those men. Child of God, take this with you this morning, that our God delivers. When the old devil comes to attack us, when the old flesh fights against us, we can turn to God's word and we can flee to that refuge. God is our refuge and strength. You know, I read a little book and it told about the men who climb up into these mountains. And when the snow and the blizzards come, they put up a little tent. And that tent is called the refuge tent. And why do they go in there? They go in to get nourishment. They go in to get strength. They go in to be protected from the wind. And you know, our refuge tent is our God. Oh, friend, this morning, our God delivers. But I want you to notice something else. Our God delights. Our God delivers, but our God delights. In verse 19, David could say, he delivered me. Why? Because he delighted in me. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Bible tells us that God delighted in David. And you know, that staggers me, that God delighted in David. Just think what David's life was like. David took another man's wife, Bathsheba, and had a child with that woman. He then took the husband of that woman and fed him with strong drink. He then sent him out to the forefront of the battle, and there he made that man to lose his life. Then we know the story when the old prophet came to David and told him about the poor man's lamb. And David wanted to bring judgment against that person. But the old prophet said, "David, thou art the man. Thou art the man." And you know, friend, what a long-suffering God we have. And David, we read in Psalm 51, he cried unto the Lord for mercy, and the Lord heard him. That is why the Lord delighted in David, because he cried for mercy. He cried and he got onto that right path again with the Savior. Oh, friend, this morning, does he delight in you? Does he delight in you, child of God? Maybe you're in this meeting this morning, and friend, he doesn't delight in you because you're not a child of God. You've never been adopted into the family of God. You've never trusted the Lord as your Savior. You've never said, "Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me from my sin." And you know, the Bible says ye must be born again. The only way to get into heaven is to be born again, born into the family of God, brought into God through adoption. And then, my friend, he will delight in you. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Can you say that this morning? Looking back over your life, can you say, "Yes, he delivered me because he delighted in me"? You know, Proverbs 13 and 12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." As a father delights in his children, God delights in you and me. You know, when my children were born, I delighted in my children. I loved them because they were my children. They came into my family. And you know, there was times when my children came to me and said, "Dad, can I go here? Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I go with this person?" And there was times I had to say, "No, you can't have this. No, you can't do that. No, you can't go there." It wasn't because I didn't love my children. It wasn't that I didn't delight in my children. But I knew what was good for my children. And you know, child of God, God delights in you. And there's times you ask him for something, and he says to you, "No, you're not having it." And the reason is that for that is because he hasn't delighted in you. The reason for that is he knows what's good for you. He knows what's good for me. I knew what was good for my children, to bring them up, to strengthen them, to show them what to do. And that's what God does for you and me. There's things he gives us, yes, that we need. There's things that he doesn't give us. But that doesn't mean to say that he doesn't delight on us. You know, I was just thinking this morning, the amazing thing is not that I love God, but the amazing thing is that God loves me. You know, I think of the many times that I walked out of meetings rejecting him. I think of the many times that I came out of the meetings, but yet the Lord still went after me. You know, many people would love to trust the Savior. But some people would say, "Oh, I carry too many burdens." I lifted a little gospel tract the other day, and it told a story about a man called John Muir. And John Muir worked in Glasgow, going around the docks, speaking to the sailors who come in to that area. He went into a boat one day, and he said to the captain, "Can I speak to your sailors?" The captain said, "Most of them are in town." He says, "But there's one I want you to visit. Could you go to the Glasgow hospital, the main hospital? There's a young man in there and he's ill. Would you go and speak to him?" And John Muir said, "I certainly will." And he went along to the hospital. He found a young man and he started to speak to him. Then he said to him, "Young man, have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior?" And the young man looked at him and he says, "Sir, I would love to." He says, "But I have so many burdens in my life, burdens that are bringing me down." John Muir said to him, told him the story of Pilgrim's Progress. He then told him the story of his own conversion, how he had many burdens. And the young man said, "Sir, can I think about this?" John Muir went and visited other people in the ward. About a half an hour later, he came back, and the young man was sitting, and the face was lit up. And John Muir said, "Well, where's your burdens?" And the young man said, "They're gone. They're gone." He says, "What's happened?" He says, "I've asked the Lord Jesus into my heart." John Muir that night went home to his own house, and he sat down, and he thought of that young man, and he thought of burdens. That's the reason why I sung it this morning. He wrote that hymn, "Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." Oh friend, if you have a burden today, a burden of sin, the Lord Jesus can lift that burden. Maybe you're in the house today and you have a burden. You've lost a loved one. You have some problems in your life. Take your burdens to Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. We have seen our God delivers. We have seen our God delights. Finally, I want us to see that our God directs. Our God directs. David could say in verse 21, "For I have kept the way of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God." In verse 30 he said, "The word of the Lord is tried." Or that word could be translated, "The word of the Lord is proved." David said, "I have kept God's word." You know, God directs us through his word, child of God. It's through God's precious word that he directs our lives. And you know, that is why so many people are not on the perfect way that we read about, because they're not reading the Bible. They're not getting the Bible, the feeding of the Bible. If you want God to direct you, he will direct you, your life, through his statutes or through his word. We read in Proverbs 14 and 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the way of death." And you know, that is why there's so many backsliders. That is why there's so many people have left their faith in God, because they've got onto the wrong path. The Bible tells us that his way is perfect. And when you come off that perfect way, my friend, you're walking the wrong direction. David could say, "I found God's way and made it my way." Do you want his way, child of God, to be your way? Then yield to God what he wants for your life. Sadly, so many Christians want to go their way, which is the wrong way. Again, I thought this morning of one who took the wrong path. I'm thinking of Jonah. Jonah was told by God, "I want you to go to Nineveh to preach the word. I want you to take that path to Nineveh to preach the word." But you know what happened? Jonah took the wrong path. And you know what happened? He ended up in the fish's belly. But you know what a gracious God we have, because we read in Jonah chapter 3 that the word of the Lord came the second time to Jonah. And what happened? He got on the right path. Oh friend, this morning, you can get on back onto the right path. Maybe you're saying to me, "Tommy, I have backslid. Tommy, I'm on the wrong path." Oh friend, cry on to God just like Jonah did. He cried to God, and God put him on the right path. But you know, there was another man called Abraham. And when he got saved, he started on the right path right away. Because the Lord came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your family. I want you to go to a place that I'll tell you about later in life. You know, Abraham didn't say, Lord, you not want me to stay here? Or Lord, you not want me to work in my own place? He walked on the right path from the very start. He had a life of obedience. Jonah had the life of disobedience. But praise God, he got on the right path and he got on that obedient path again. You know what a difference there was between these two men. My friend, our prayer should be, I want your way, Lord, to be my way. I want to be yielded to what God wants for me. He will direct your path the way you go. What you need to pray, I remember Dr. Paisley used to tell me every morning before I get out of my bed, I pray this prayer. Lord, this bed is an altar. Take this body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto thee. And Lord, help me to win some soul to thee today. You know, there's two men on the road to Damascus. They were two disciples, and they had seen the Lord crucified. They had seen the Lord put into the tomb. And they thought their whole world was finished. They were walking on the wrong path. They were walking away from Jerusalem, backslidden, downhearted. They didn't even realize when the Lord Jesus walked beside them. But what does the Bible say? Did not their hearts burn within them as he talked to them by the way? And what happened when they realized it was the Savior? They done an about turn back to Jerusalem. Oh friend, this morning, let us be on that perfect path. We need to be on that perfect path to walk with our Savior. Praise God, David could say that the Lord delivered him. He could say that the Lord delighted in him. But he could say that the Lord directed in him. Just shortly after my wife died, I was given this little poem. And this was a poem that a minister read at his wife's graveyard, or at his wife's grave. And it says, my father's way may twist and turn. My heart might throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still, I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark, and it may be, that day will never break. I'll put my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Though all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. Oh friend, this morning, take this home with you this morning, that God delights in you if you're a child of God. God will deliver you, and God will direct. But praise God, God's way is perfect. I pray the Lord will bless this word to all our hearts this morning. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing the hymn 437.